Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the Pot of Thunder and Rock and Roll, and it's Friday, so it's time for the Duff McKagan Joke of the Week.
Okay, Halloween joke. A guy's walking down the street, and behind him, he hears this thump, thump, thump. He looks behind him. It's a coffin. It's like, what the hell? So he speeds up his pace, and behind him, he hears thump, 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 thump. The coffin's following him. He starts running. Thump, 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 thump. The coffin's running after him. The guy's panicked. He runs to his house up the back door. His back door leads him into his bathroom. And the coffin's still behind him. And all he's got is bathroom. He reaches for something. He gets some throat lozenges. I mean, all he can do is really just throw one at him, and the coffin stops. Thank you.
Wow. That one was maybe the worst yet. Definitely not a keeper, very much a stinker, not even for next Halloween. But thanks to Duff for continuing to send the best bad jokes ever. Love the laughs, and thanks to Duff for doing that. So while it may be a little late on the Halloween laughs, we're definitely getting the holiday movie preview to you right in time. It's almost Christmas. We got the lovely and talented Nikki Novak, my old friend, ex-Young Hollywood. Now she's with Fandango, one of the best celebrity interviewers. She's on the carpet all the time, interviewing for the biggest movie website in the world. She's got the 411 of the big movies coming to theaters this holiday season. We're going to be talking about Star Wars, The Last Jedi, Justice League, Thor Ragnarok, which actually came out today, Murder on the Orient Express, Bad Moms Christmas, The Greatest Showman, The Disaster Artist, Downsizing, and speaking of Guns N' Roses, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. Nikki's also got some great stories about interviewing Harrison Ford and Johnny Depp and playing skee-ball with Seth Rogen. It's movie time coming up on Talk is Jericho. Christmas movie premiere right here. And you still got time to get your rock on with Fozzy if you live in the UK. The Judas Rising tour is rolling on through Europe. The shows have been insane. And thanks to everyone who's come out so far. We just hit the London at the Islington Academy last night. Jam-packed that place. Every show has been jam-packed. And tonight, Friday, November 3rd, we return to the Corporation in Sheffield. Come on and rock with us. Then we go Glasgow at the Garage on the 4th, Newcastle on the 5th at Riverside. Head over to mainland Europe after that. Netherlands, Amsterdam on the 7th. Aschaffenburg on the 8th. 9 is Pretown, Switzerland. 10 is Trez, Roma. Italy, it's kind of Milan. Then Roncade on the 11th. Roma's on the 12th. Vienna on 14. 15 is Munich. 16 is Essen. 17 is Hamburg. That one's almost sold out. Genk, Belgium on the 18th. We're doing VIP meet and greets and pre-show mini concerts for every stop on every show. And the Fozzy VIP experience is one of the best out there. You get to see some songs you're not going to hear the rest of the night. Hang out with the band, get some stuff signed, get some pictures taken, all around one of the best experiences you're going to have. Go to FozzyRock.com, check out Fozzy VIP. And speaking of VIP, let's give you some VIP rock and roll from the Judas album right now. This is Painless.
Made the cake my brain, like needles in my veins, consumed in your time. Caught in your web, I'm paralyzed. So go on and lay me down to rest. You make it painless. Killing me with a breath at a time. Caught in your web, I'm paralyzed. So go on and lay.
That's the new one from Fozzy. It's on the Judas album, out now everywhere. iTunes, Amazon, Best Buy, FYE, all the usual rock and roll places, Newbury Comics. All right, let's get to the Christmas movie preview with Nicky Novak. But we would not be able to do that if not for the great sponsors who make this show possible, including the new WWE 2K18 game. I recorded a bunch of audio stuff for that game, and you can play as Chris Jericho from this past year with The List. Or you can play as Chris Jericho from 2000 with the long hair. Seth Rollins is on the cover of the new game, and WWE 2K18 promises to bring you closer to the ring than ever before with hard-hitting action, excitement, new game modes, deep creation capabilities, and everything you've come to love from WWE 2K. And with those creation capabilities, you can even make your Jim Cornette player. Now, Jim Cornette had a great show here on Talk is Jericho last week. WWE 2K18 also features the addition of 8-man matches, a new grapple carry system, thousands of new animations, a massive backstage area, and a brand new rendering engine that gives WWE 2K18 a visual overhaul, bringing the drama of WWE to life like never before. You can dominate the ring with tons of your favorite WWE, NXT, and legendary superstars. WWE 2K18 offers the most complete roster of the biggest and brightest WWE and NXT superstars and legends to ever grace a WWE ring. Also, be sure to check out the official WWE 2K18 in-game soundtrack, personally curated by executive producer Dwayne The Rock Johnson, available now on Apple Music. So to learn more about WWE 2K18, the best version of all, the best version yet, head on over to WWE.2K.com and pick it up now and play me. Play me against each other. That might be cool. Do it now. WWE.2K.com. Hey, this is Chris Jericho inviting you to the first ever Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea. Picture this. Rock and roll, wrestling, comedy, live podcasting, all on the open ocean from October 27th to the 31st, 2018, from Miami to Nassau. I'm bringing Hall of Fame wrestlers, some of the greatest rock and roll bands on the planet, and putting the first wrestling ring on a cruise ship ever. Don't be a stupid idiot. Make the list. Check us out at ChrisJerichoCruise.com.
Talk is Jericho.
I'm here with Nicky Novak, and also Canadian, and she was apologizing because the email that we printed out, she said she couldn't read her own writing, but it's printed, and then I'm apologizing because it's too small.
I know. I was like, sorry, and you're the one who printed it out.
Sorry.
I only typed it.
I know, and then I just printed out what you typed.
Sorry.
So we're apologizing to each other for nothing. But this is exciting because Nicky and I known each other for years, since your young Hollywood days.
Yeah.
We went on a stakeout once.
We did.
Went and ate steak.
We went and ate steak, but then we had a stakeout. Well, what were we staking out before we staked out?
I don't know if we even were staking anything. We were like just looking at random people walking by.
We were. Well, we were supposed to be on a stakeout, but we were eating donuts. I know that. We had the binoculars and
wasn't
the donuts.
Was there some guy on a skateboard or something? Or?
There was. Yeah. I mean, I think it was we shot it in West Hollywood, and I think there was some dodgy stuff going on that we didn't even know.
I think we were actually really watching a stakeout. Talk about, like, that would be great. Like, the actual cops were pissed off at us because they were doing a real stakeout.
Wait, this could be a movie.
This could
you
be.
Realize two random people, or did they already do this? I feel like they already made this movie, and I already think
I think it was actually called Stakeout.
I think it might have been.
Emilio Estevez and Richard Dreyfuss.
Like somebody, like they go on a, I should know this, but they go on a, what they think is they're just two random dudes and they see a crime. I mean, it happens all the time in the movie. They see a crime, but...
But they're yeah. like Tropic Thunder, where they go to make a movie about like...
Tropic Thunder is one of my favorite movies great. Of
Les,
all time.
Les Moon... What was his name? Les Grossman?
Les Grossman. Tom Cruise.
Yeah, he had the fake forearms. Did you ever notice that?
Oh my gosh. So I just interviewed him for the first time.
Really?
Yes.
This is what I love about you, because originally I just wanted to talk to you about all these interviews that you've done.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about movies.
We're going to talk about holiday movies, all the stuff coming out before Christmas, the end of the year.
Christmas movie premiere, right? Is what yeah. we're going to do. But I want to hear the story about Tom Cruise, though.
So, Tom Cruise, I don't know for you, but for me, growing up, was my, like, that to me is a movie star.
I'm a huge Tom Cruise fan.
Me too.
Day. Yeah.
And the more also you know about film and know about like the attention to detail that he puts into his film, put the personal life aside. I'm talking right. his movie Agreed. Career, what he puts into his roles, how long he's been a movie star. If you actually go back through his body of work and all the iconic lines from the last however many years, 30 years of film, They're 50% his, yeah. of them are Tom Cruise. Like he to me was, and I don't get starstruck. For the most part, like maybe two or three times. And it's usually people you don't expect. Like they'll Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Wow.
Yeah. Really had a presence. Oh my gosh. I'm drawing a blank on his name.
You're so starstruck. You can't even remember his name.
Now I just sound stupid. It's another sir. Go through the sirs
Sir
with
Paul
me.
McCartney, Sir Mick Jagger, Sir Edmund Hillary, Sir... Sir Psycho Sexy. That's a Chili Peppers song. You probably didn't yeah. meet him.
Anyway, no, I just, you know, there's certain people, they just walk in and they have a presence and yeah. you don't expect it and they unnerve you a little bit. Like John Hamm had that.
Oh.
Where he wasn't really my thing. I mean, women are like, he's so handsome. And I was like, yeah, too perfect for me. And he walks in and he was just like, it just blew me away.
So handsome, yeah.
You know, it was just his way. Like certain people are just magnetic when you meet them in person. So Tom Cruise, like I thought, what's it going to be like? Is it going to be one of those things, you know, where you see somebody in person that you've idolized for so long and usually something will strike you about them that looks different from film. Like either they're really short, yeah. usually with actors, yeah. like, oh my gosh, are they ever short?
I never realized that.
And you don't realize that, or their presence is smaller, or there's something about them that's just so different. Something that just hits you right away. Mm-hmm. He is everything and more when you see him in person.
Wow.
It's partly that it's Tom Cruise and he has that iconic face and that voice and you're just like, I can't believe I'm sitting in the room with him. But he really has that something.
I did Good Morning America and he was on it too. And we got in an elevator together. I mean, there's a bunch of other people on there. But just him on the elevator, you're like, oh my gosh, it's Tom Cruise. You can't
magnetic.
Stop looking. And there's magnetic, this aura. And then this is where I really like appreciated him. All the people outside wait by the window. You know, they watch Good Morning America from the street. And he went out there and shook. And when I say he shook everybody, he was out there for like half an hour. Just
yeah.
everybody, picture,
yeah.
sign, smile, laugh. Like that's above and beyond.
That's above and beyond. And you know? Actually, I should say, I did meet him once before. And it was the same thing. It was Rock of Ages. It was backstage. A friend of mine was in the show. When they're meaning like the play
yeah, yeah.
not the film, he was there to research because he was going to do the Stacey Jacks character, which was another one of my favorite characters that he did. And he was backstage. He came backstage. I know.
You forget, yeah.
Oh, he's so good. Yeah, that was like up there with Les Grossman for me.
Yeah.
But he just like same thing. He was backstage. Everybody, all the eyeballs are on him and he knows that. So rather than making everybody awkwardly come over and have five people out of the 20 people in the room ask for a picture or whatever, he just circulated. He was like the mayor. He just went around and shook hands. And he has that thing where when he looks at you and shakes your hand, you're like, I'm the only person in the universe. I think we made
though.
A connection.
that's a trick right there.
Like
Lars from Metallica is like that. Like when you talk to him,
yeah,
you can tell he's listening and looking you in the eye.
Yeah.
That's something that like true – I'm not to say it's fake, but true pros about how to make people feel comfortable know how to do that.
Yeah. Well, and this is the thing is people always ask me, oh, what was so-and-so like, so-and-so like. Usually the actors, like the Will Smiths of the world, the people that have been in the business the longest – are the nicest because number one, they're not struggling anymore.
Yeah.
They don't need to prove anything. They're over that initial. They've been through the highs and the lows of the career. They're over themselves.
Yeah.
They know that it can go away in a second. They're happy to be working. And there's a reason why people keep working with those people. They're generally nice people.
I've always noticed that. The biggest names are always the coolest.
Always the coolest.
It's the mid-level ones that have attitudes.
Or the new ones.
Or the new ones,
it's,
right.
It's sometimes like the early 20s actors and actresses that, you know, they're new and they don't know. Or the YouTubers. Yeah. Sorry, YouTubers. But the YouTubers are the worst. They come in with an entourage and they think they have to be a certain way.
Right.
And
coming
it's
in
like,
with an entourage?
Oh, yeah. Because they think they're supposed to do that. And I think the longer you've been in the business, the more you want all the entourage away. You're just like, I want to be anonymous. I want to just come in and do my job.
Because you're not famous for anything. Like, that's one thing. Like, I'm not, like, once again, not cutting down anybody that's YouTube and has, you know, 100 million subscribers. That's awesome. But I find that the reason that most people are cool is because they've been through the grind and the ups and downs and the getting rejected for parts or not, you know, whatever it may be. Like the guys in Steel Panther are the nicest guys because they were guys that had been playing in bands for years, never made it, and their last ditch effort was to put together this fun, stupid band and not even give a shit anymore.
Totally.
Suddenly they're playing arenas. But they're not jerks. They understand how lucky they are to be there and appreciate it.
Wait, I have to ask you, Noah, we're going on a total tangent.
We're all over the place. We love it.
But have you ever met Bono?
One time in Tokyo I met Bono.
And how was he? Because I've never met him. U2, it was my band. I've never met him, and I don't know if I want to meet him because he's that big a hero to me.
Okay, here's what I did. This was back like in the mid-90s when I was like, you know, rocker, you know. I was like, yeah, we went to Hard Rock Cafe in Tokyo, and Bono was there. And I was like, hey, there's Bono. I'm going to go tell him that U2 sold out. Like, you know, whatever happened, the real U2, what's up with all this Zoo TV stuff? You know, tell him what I think. Yeah, go tell him. I go up to him, and as I get closer, it's like a tractor beam of vibe. And I walk up to him. He's with a, I don't even know how I was able to even get that close to him, but I was like, hey, Bono. And he looks at me.
I love you.
Yeah, like, you're awesome.
Did you really?
Yeah. Felt completely apart. In the presence of Bono.
I have thought about many times. Have you ever, I don't, do you have like a number one person that you've never met that you've always wanted to meet, or have you met everybody?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's funny. Like, I could tell you stories, but McCartney's the one for me.
And have you met him?
Well, kind of. At the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I kind of forced myself on him to meeting him until he finally asked me who the hell I was and to leave him alone. Not in a bad way, but in a very polite way. But that's a guy I would love to have a conversation. I would love to have him on this show, you know?
Yeah.
How about you?
That was my guy. That's my guy.
Oh,
no, Bono's my person. And I don't know if you do this where I have mental conversations with him where I've planned out what I would say. Like, do I just – because the second – and I know this from interviewing celebrities. The second you fan out, you're no longer on the level. You're done. And they want to get as far away from you as possible. Or they just want to answer your questions. But they're never going to sort of like – but if you're just cool and you're just – like, you just have a conversation. So my whole thing is I need Bono to know he changed my life. But I don't need him to know because then it would ruin.
Right.
And how many times has he been told that?
Yeah.
And then it becomes one of those things where what can they say but thank you? And it doesn't go anywhere. So I've had these mental like planning for the day, and I'm sure that's going to happen to me if it ever happens.
It will.
Yeah, I'll just lick his shoes or something.
No, no, I just want to love you. So we're talking about and a great segue of licking shoes to movies. Why wouldn't you use that? It's the Christmas movie. Preview.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about all these great movies that are coming out. And you've seen some of these.
I've seen some of them. I haven't seen all of them. So I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that I've seen some things, but I know a lot of buzz.
Because you're in the biz. You're in the know.
Well, that's my job.
Yeah. Because you work for Fandango.
Yeah, I work for Fandango. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, a lot of times, number one, if I do junkets, we get to see the film before it comes out. And, you know, other times you just get to see it because they offer you screenings because I'm going to be talking about film and they want you to know, especially if it's a good movie, they'll let you see it earlier and earlier and earlier than normal. It's like a whole trick. If they don't hold a press screening till like a week before.
You know, it's a stinker.
It's a stinker.
I don't know how this happened, but I'm on like the maybe because I'm in SAG where they send you the copies of the movies like for your consideration.
Yeah.
To win an Oscar.
Yeah. Send them my way. Thanks.
Oh, but they're always the bad ones, though. Like it's like, you know, Shakespeare in Love. I'm not going to watch Shakespeare.
What do you mean bad ones?
Totally
Shakespeare
should
in Love.
Not have won Best Picture that year.
What? Wait, there was another movie
Saving
that year.
Private Ryan.
Was it that year? Yeah.
Did not win because Shakespeare in Love won. And I watched Shakespeare in Love just to see. It was not as good. Okay, like
we're
it.
Gonna get into a whole thing. I love this because I don't even really know your movie taste.
You don't, and by design, I didn't really tell you a lot
I know,
of info.
And I know.
You had a lot of courage to come because you're like, what kind of a vibe do we have? This is the vibe. This is
I
the
love
vibe
it.
That we have.
I love it.
Before we move on, I want to know what's your favorite Tom Cruise movie.
Oh my gosh, that's really really tough. I mean, my favorite performances of his are different from my favorite movies, like right. Tropic Thunder. The Les Grossman.
Amazing.
And the Stacey Jacks from Rock of Ages, which Rock of Ages was not my favorite movie, but I liked it a lot better than most people did. Right. I actually thought it was a really good movie. I think there were too many expectations on it.
Right, right, right.
But weirdly, like Jerry Maguire is one of those movies. Like that's the first thing that came to my head, which is usually your answer.
Yeah.
But the first time I saw Jerry Maguire, I didn't like it.
Really?
Isn't that funny? Because it had been hyped so much. I saw it when it was already popular. And that's sometimes people say that now, like we're in the age of you see the trailer beforehand, you know, you want to know what the movie is before you go into it. And people these days, they can stay home and stream movies at home.
True.
Movies come out a lot sooner. Mm-hmm. So for people to pay their money, movie tickets are expensive. For people to go out and pay, people come to me all the time and they'll be like, is this good? I don't want to. Nobody ever wants to go to the theater anymore and walk out saying they saw a bad movie. People are so picky now about what they'll go and see. And I forget what was my.
We're just talking about Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. So that was it. So that was, it's always the case when I see, when you know too much about a movie. I always try to encourage people now to know as little as possible going into something because it really does color. Like, I'll give you a perfect example, which one of the movies we're going to talk about, Thor Ragnarok. Mm-hmm. This is the third installment of the Thor movies.
Start with Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
It's
the third installment of Thor. It opens November 3rd. Okay, first of all, if you saw the four, you look a little bit like Thor right now. I just want to say your hair. You got a bit of a Thor vibe going on.
I just got to grow my hair out a little bit more.
You did.
Grow my beard out.
You did, except he cuts his hair in this movie.
I saw that.
We could do this today.
I'm wondering.
Do you want to have a Thor haircut today?
You could cut it for me?
I could.
Do you have the
skills? But I don't want to because I like it.
Yeah, I'm growing it out. So Chris Hemsworthy has
short hair. Hemsworthy.
Hemsworthy?
Yeah.
Chris Hemsworthy?
Is he worthy?
Is he worthy
it's
of having
Hemsworth.
This hair? I don't like when they change the hairstyles, the modern hairstyles. Like Thor should have long hair. He's a Viking.
Yeah. But I will say the issue that I had as a female with the first two Thors with the long hair, the extensions were bad extensions.
Oh, so it wasn't real long hair.
Oh, no. He says it was all his. No, it was his with pieces put into it. I just think it was bad extensions. I think if it was done well, you could braid it. You could do all kinds of stuff with it in the third installment.
Like bad hair extensions are like a bad toupee. Like you can see them
from
a mile away.
You can see them.
I see girls all the time with like the hair extension where you can see the tape on the side. Like I can actually see the tape. Like I'm cool with the hair extensions.
I have them in right now. What are you talking? Can you tell?
I can't see any tape on yours.
Wait till I turn around.
Nothing. Yeah, there's no tape in there that I can see. So what I'm saying is I'm fine with the I like the hair extensions. I like long hair.
I do too.
Cover the tape.
I'm a hair person. Yeah. I have a bit of a hair fetish.
You do?
Yeah. So I liked the long. But I will say, they give him such a cool haircut in this movie.
Okay.
He gets like the lines or the whatever put into it.
No, like a rap star?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the movie.
So it's Ragnarok.
Thor Ragnarok. So the first two Thors kind of took themselves very seriously. Have you seen any of the other Thors?
Yes. I saw the first one.
And would you think? Well, you're laughing.
No, I told you kind of earlier, I don't like superhero movies.
Yeah, why?
Because I find they're all the same. Superheroes come, tell some jokes, aliens come, almost blow up the world, superheroes beat up aliens, the end.
Okay.
And wait to the end of the credits because you're going to see one little thing that happens that will take you to the next movie.
Totally right.
Did I catch it?
You totally caught it. I love that. But here's what I'll say about, did you like Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yes.
This is why you're going to like Thor Ragnarok.
Okay.
Because what they did is the first two Thor movies were very much, I think, taking themselves seriously, like Thor. And then it almost became like, where are they going to take this franchise?
Oh, yeah. What can you do with it?
What can you do with it? So what the director did, new director, Taika Waititi, he's a New Zealander guy, but his previous movies, he's kind of like a rock and roll cool guy. He took the Avengers, and now he's put together this little band of people in the Thor Ragnarok movie that are called the Revengers. But it's like I feel like there's a huge nod to Guardians of the Galaxy because they're this group of misfits. They take Chris Hemsworth and he makes fun of himself in the movie. It is so funny. It's more comedic than anything. And you never really have that, like Kate Blanchett plays like the villain, but you never have that feeling of, oh, are they going to save the world? And I think that's why you don't like it. Because you know, at the end of the day, they're going to prevail because they're going to be in the next five franchise movies that they have coming out. They're not going to kill off their main characters. Exactly. This one is so funny. He just took it and turned it on its head. And
but here's the thing, which I think you just kind of said that. And this is Hollywood too. Guardians of the Galaxy comes out. It's super funny. And, you know, like it's just completely different from all the other. And then now they're making them all funny. You know, they put a lot of comedy. And sometimes like Superman versus Batman, you could tell that they went back and reshot some jokes.
Right.
You want jokes? We got jokes.
Right.
No, that doesn't work that way. But the vibe of the movie is very fun and breezy. So I think maybe Ragnarok they're trying to, you know, mimic that success.
Probably. Right. And I would tell you, if it was a copycat that didn't work or was just a copycat, I would say to you, they're trying to copy Guardians of the Galaxy, but it's not as good. It's definitely has its own thing, like its own vibe. Jeff Goldblum, I don't know if you're a Jeff Goldblum fan, but he plays this.
Absolutely big Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, my God. And I interviewed him for this movie. He plays the Grandmaster. He has his own planet, and he wears like a gold jumpsuit and blue eyeliner, and it's just Jeff Goldblum like going off
over the top.
You can tell he just like took that role and went, chewed it up, spit it out, said thank you very much on his way out the door. Like he just crushed it, and it's like, you know, it really had, like, that's why I say it has its own vibe. It's Guardians of the Galaxy-esque, but done really well. It's going to
be huge.
It's going to be huge.
I like the name Ragnarok, too.
Say it five times fast.
Ragnarok. Really, and also, Jeff Goldblum looks like my cousin Chad. And it'd be better if he played
for that reason alone.
And it'd be cool if he played Grandmaster Flash, like the rap guy.
Well, I think it's kind of a nod to that too. Like he's
that'd be great if Grandmaster Flash was villain.
I know.
Okay,
but yeah, so it's really well executed.
So you are giving this,
and I'm the same with you. Like there's like some of the Avengers movies.
There's so many of them.
There's so many.
Obviously, they probably have to put out a certain amount a year.
Yeah.
By contract.
Yeah. You and know. I think, you know, I agree with you. Some of them, when they take themselves too seriously they're very formulaic and it's a lot of action. For people who love those kind of action movies and they want to see all the superheroes lined up against each other and you know, banding with each other or fighting each other, there's always going to be that audience. But like people, like what you're saying is, come on, give me something new. Give me something different.
And Chris Hemsworth.
But he is worthy.
That Chris guy. He's really funny, too, because he was super funny in Ghostbusters, which I love. The Ghostbusters remake.
You liked the Ghostbusters remake?
Wow. Really? So that's a movie that I liked. Did it not get good reviews?
It didn't do well at all. It didn't get good reviews at all.
Didn't do good box office either?
No, it did not. Wow. It did not.
I thought it was really fun.
You know, that's the thing. I'm the same too. Like there's a lot of movies that I'll go see because I'm not a movie critic. I'm a movie fan. Mm-hmm. And my sensibilities are, I like mainstream movies. I like romantic comedies. I like comedies. I don't think they should always be panned by critics. Mm-hmm. Like
they can be fun.
And don't take yourself so seriously. Like if it's a good movie and you enjoy it, it's worth just as much as the critically acclaimed, you know, whatever. It's just a different genre.
And sometimes, like, so when I'm on a plane, like, I never want to watch a critically acclaimed whatever. I want to watch the fun movies.
Of course, yeah.
And I watched Baywatch the other day. Awful. Shut it off halfway through. Couldn't take it.
Yeah, it was definitely a disappointment.
Oh, just not – and then, I just wasn't – so sometimes those movies don't work either.
Do you ever cry in a plane when you watch movies? I have a theory about the altitude.
That it makes you cry?
Yeah.
Really?
I bawled watching Baywatch on the plane. Was it a comedy?
I cried when Spock died in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. Not on the plane, in the theater when I was like 12. And the high school bully saw me crying and told the whole school that I cried when Spock died. And that was my nickname for a whole year. You cried when Spock died. I cried when Spock died.
No way.
Yes.
Where's that guy now? Do you know?
If I saw him today, I would turn and run screaming down the street.
Why?
Chuck Fontaine, he's a bully. He's still probably a bully.
I bet he's not.
Well,
of course you could kick his ass now.
Well, I'm scared, though. He's always kind of scared of it.
Are you? Well, or don't you want to, like, face him and kick his ass?
Well, maybe I should.
Yeah.
Thanks for the therapy.
I am on a couch.
Yes, you are.
You're listening to Talk is Jericho.
Okay, A Bad Mom's Christmas.
Yeah.
With Kristen Bell, Mila Kunis, and Catherine.
So have you seen A Bad Mom?
I like Bad Mom. It was A Bad Mom's Club.
Bad Mom.
I saw it. Yeah. Enjoyed it.
It was good, right?
Yeah, I liked it.
And I think that was the thing. I think people didn't really have any expectations of it. I think the first
came
one.
Came out of nowhere.
It was like Trainwreck. It was like those types of movies that.
Right.
You know, comedies these days, because of all the superhero movies, comedies are like, where are they? You can't find them in Hollywood. They don't really want to invest in them because so many times it's like the sleeper hit.
Right.
Like the Ghostbusters, which they put a lot of money into
and expected big stars
and big franchise already built into it. And then all of a sudden, like, it doesn't do well. And, you know, the other ones they know are going to pay off. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even like movies like Batman versus Superman, superhero movie, wasn't critically acclaimed, but still made almost $1 billion in the box office.
Because it's the concept.
It's the concept and it's the fan base.
That's going to draw you in whether it's good or not.
Right.
Right.
But anyway, so Bad Mom's Christmas, I've seen it. It's I would say on par with the first one. Okay. And basically the gist is it's Christmas time. Mila Kunis and Kristen Bell and Catherine Hahn's moms come to visit. So it's played by Susan Sarandon is one of the moms, and she's like the rebel mom, you know. She plays Catherine. Yeah. Catherine Hahn's character is like the rebellious But like the whole thing is the apple doesn't fall far from the tree because they're all kind of exactly like their moms. And it was just smart. I mean, it's kind of like it did well. Why not release it at Christmas? They're smart. They know what they're doing. Because what do you do with a sequel of a sleeper hit? It's the unexpected that's what made it good. So how do you up the ante?
You either take it on a holiday or you take it to Thailand.
You think you Hangover? Yeah. I know. That'll be the next one. Bad Mom Vietnam or whatever.
Of course, we're going to Thailand. Like, well, why wouldn't you go to Thailand?
Yeah.
And that's what actually Bad Moms reminded me. There's our Canadian shining through too. It's Bad Moms, M-U-M-S, Bad Mom. It came out of nowhere just like Hangover did. Because Hangover at the time, like Bradley Cooper wasn't as big of a star as he is now. And Ed Helms was just the dude and Zach Galifianakis. And this is the same. Like Mila Kunis, like maybe never been in a movie. Like I don't think I've ever seen her in an actual big screen movie.
Oh, she's been in a ton of movies. But you know her from?
Well, no, she hasn't.
70s show.
Well, yeah, you know her from that.
You know her from that.
But that's what I'm saying. But it's just the random chemistry really worked.
Yeah. Well, I just interviewed them. It was a whole thing we did for Twitter for this movie. Mm. And the three females together.
The
three leads, not the moms. Okay, yeah, the moms kids, weren't there. Yeah. The moms of the moms weren't
the
there.
The daughters. Yeah.
They together, they don't need a script. Like I will tell you, most of the time, sometimes you interview comedians, they're not funny.
Oh, I know.
And they're mean. They're sad and they're depressed.
I know.
They're mean. Sometimes they're mean. You're just like, well, I won't name names today, but there's a few of them. Yeah. A lot of times people are like, oh, you're interviewing this comedian. And I go, oh, you don't know what you're going to get.
I had one for this podcast. I haven't aired it yet. Not what I was expecting, at least. Not funny and not a good storyteller.
Who?
I can't tell you on the air. I'll tell you afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then people are just going to look through who you are.
Well, when it comes up, you'll know when you see it. But like you said, I think comedians sometimes they play a part, and when they're not on stage, that's a different character.
Well, a lot of comedians they become comedians. It comes out of pain. It comes out of a painful childhood or whatever. They were the outcast, and that was their outlet. Mm-hmm. Was the only way they were going to cope was to
tell jokes.
To and tell you find jokes.
They're really depressed, the Robin Williams sort of thing. Yeah, exactly.
So, but that was a different thing.
Well, he had depression.
Did he?
I think that was they said.
Yeah.
I mean,
but he had an illness that
wasn't that mental illness though.
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Okay, I think I think it's like kind of like a deep depression.
Was it?
Yeah.
But I thought he had a disease and that
he might have too. I'm not sure. I don't know.
But yeah, so a lot of times, you know, they're not funny in person, but these three women together, it was like one of those interviews. I just didn't have to do anything. I just get out of the way. Just get out of the way because it's flying and I don't want to get in the way of all that. They were really, really good together. And I kind of saw why the movie worked. But also, Mila Kunis and Kristen Bell did Forgetting Sarah Marshall together. They've known each other for a really
long
time.
That's right. She was in that movie. So I'm
wrong. I forgot that until they brought it up.
Wow.
And I was like, that's right. You guys were in that movie together.
Yeah,
they already have a rapport.
Gotcha. They have the chemistry.
But it's a good movie. I mean, it's going to do a ton of money. This opening, they're opening it early. They're opening it November 1st to sort of get a jump on all the holiday movies, which I think is smart, even though it's a Bad Mom's Christmas. I thought November 1st you're opening it? That's kind of like, why don't you open it December 25th?
Like, as soon as Halloween ends, it's Thanksgiving. And as soon as Thanksgiving is Christmas.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it counts. All right. So we'll look for that one, Bad Mom's Christmas.
I love that you say mum like the queen.
I'm really getting into it. It's a bad mum's Christmas, eh? Let's go check it out, man.
Yeah.
At the Cineplex, eh? Okay, so Murder on the Orient Express, which is a remake of a movie called Murder on the Orient Express. From, I think it was the 70s, maybe?
Yeah.
And this has Judi Dench, who I've seen her boobs, by the way.
Wait, what?
Yeah, she did like three nude movies.
Not in person.
No, I haven't banged her. It's not the age. I just don't find her hot. But I'd bang Anna Margaret.
Hey, well, she's gorgeous.
Well, yeah. She's like 80, I think, right?
I think
so. Is Anna Margaret in this movie?
No, she's not. So it's already disappointing. Penelope Cruz is in this movie, though. And Daisy Ridley.
I always thought that Penelope was pronounced Penelope when I was a kid.
You did?
I didn't have to pronounce
it. Do you think she's beautiful? She your thing?
In certain light.
Right.
And you know, see some girls that you think are hot, and then you see them again, they're not, and vice versa. Certain light.
Yeah, she got
weird nose. Yeah, for you? Yeah, when you see girls?
When I see girls, I think that all the time.
She has a weird nose, Penelope Cruz, for me.
I get it. It's she's more exotic. She's more of the...
Strange nostrils is what I'm thinking.
Oh, my God. Guys are so fickle. I swear. Because I have so many guy friends. They will pick out the most random things about a female. Like, she could be, out of a scale of 1 to 10, she could be a 25.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, yeah, but her index finger on her left side was slightly longer than the one on the right side. And I'm just turned off. And it's just like, wait a second. But guys are like, because guys are so much more visual
than
girls.
But also, here's where it changes. If that girl shows any interest in the guy.
She's a 27.
Don't care anymore. Her index fingers are made. You said you still like
them. So you're saying if Penelope Cruz showed an interest in you, you wouldn't care about her nostrils?
Well, yeah, I could probably live with the nostrils.
You could live with it.
But here's for me, the Michelle Pfeiffer's in it as well. But here's
who's
for me,
kind of making a comeback. She was just in Mother with Darren Aronofsky.
Okay.
And she's one of those actors that has recently come out and said, like, she has a lot of social anxiety.
Oh.
She finds it really hard to be in certain situations.
Really?
And yeah, but she's kind of making a bit of a film comeback, which I think is...
Me too.
Love her.
She's a Hollywood legend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You forget, though, like you said, like, just when you mentioned that, I'm thinking my Rolodex of my head, Fabulous Baker Boys, Catwoman, Scarface.
Oh, Tequila Sunrise.
She was the hot...
Do you remember her in Tequila Sunrise?
Super hot.
Oh,
and
gosh.
Again, Catwoman too in Batman.
Yeah,
super hot.
Yeah,
but Johnny Depp for me. Johnny Depp is my Tom Cruise.
Is he really still? Like,
yeah, I don't think Johnny Depp. He's been in some movies that aren't good, but he's never had a bad performance.
Wow,
ever.
I'll tell you.
Even Lone Ranger, I thought he was great. The movie wasn't good, but he was awesome in it.
He, you know what? And the last Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes.
I liked it. This is one of those movies that people go, oh my gosh, why are they making another one? We don't need to make another one. If you went, did you see it? Mm-hmm. Did you like it?
Mm-hmm. I liked it because I like Johnny Depp playing that character.
And Javier Bardem.
Yeah. He crushed it. And it's a Pirates of the Caribbean movie. It's exactly like all the other ones.
Exactly.
It's what you get.
But I went to you see it in the theater on the big screen, the music, the score is amazing, the visual effects, people are like, it looked too much like CGI. I don't care. It still looked impressive. I don't care if it looks like CGI. I want it to look like CGI. If it can look like that, let it be CGI.
It's an undersea ghost. It's not real. Yeah. It has to be CGI.
Exactly. I thought it was so much fun. And people just went on and on and on this summer about how, oh, why should they make another one? This one was crap. I'm like, what are you talking about? I had the best time watching that movie.
Great, yeah.
Everybody, and I always pay attention to what I hear when I'm walking out, like the public, what the public thinks. And everybody I could hear talking about it was like, that was so much fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like.
See, but I think you're a lot like me. Like when I go out to do something or see something, I want to enjoy it, so I'm going to be like going in there with the best of attitudes.
Right.
Like I go to see a comedian, I laugh hard at everything, even if it's not funny, because I want to laugh. And people kind of look at me and like, I don't care. Like I'm a great fan for the comic, and when I go to the movies, I want to enjoy it. It has to be really bad for me to turn on
them. Is it because we're Canadian? Because I'm the same way.
Maybe.
Because I just, like, for the most part, glass half full, like I want to go and enjoy it. I don't want to sit there and go,
Worst comedian ever. Terrible. Yeah. you know, but that's not even like we're talking about Johnny Depp, even that Kevin Smith movie Tusk, which was really creepy and weird. He played like Guy Lafon or something, like a French Canadian detective.
Oh, yeah.
Super funny.
Oh, really? I didn't
like
see
that total,
one.
Like.
Thanks for teaching me about movies today.
There you go.
We're
both learning.
But I will tell you a really funny, quick Johnny Depp story before we move on.
That's what I like. You're behind the scenes here.
Oh, so this was before I was even doing what I do now. I was. Had come out to LA to be an actress, which is a whole other story. But
Dexter,
I swear there's still going to be a sitcom based on me called Bad Actress because I was the worst actress ever. And I know I was bad.
She was on Dexter, though, and you came out of the shower.
Yeah, but I was not shirtless. I will say that.
Just pantsless?
Just pantsless. Actually, I was pantsless, which I guess is worse. Anyway, so I just moved out here to become an actress, and a friend of mine headed up this foundation for like a charity. It was like a hospital thing. And Jennifer Lopez was giving an award to Johnny Depp. He was kind of getting the humanitarian award. So my friend calls me. He's like, hello, love. You know, one of these really rich dudes. Hello, lovey. I have this like hospital charity event. I was wondering if you could hand out an award to somebody. And he's like one of those eccentric billionaires that doesn't know celebrities, like truly doesn't know. Like he told me once he met Brad Pitt and was sitting having a conversation with him and walked away 30 minutes later. And someone's like, oh my God, that was Brad Pitt. And he didn't even know who it was. And he really doesn't. So he calls me. He's like, do you want to give out an award? So I basically was just like, no, I think I'm busy. You know, gave him the whole excuse. 5 minutes later, a friend of ours calls who knew about it and said, you don't want to give an award to Johnny Depp? And I'm like, it's Johnny Depp. What? I had no idea. So I call him back and I'm like, yeah, my schedule just cleared. I think I can do it. So I had to give Johnny Depp, like basically I was the trophy girl. I was, you know, Miss Golden Globes kind of thing. Where Jennifer Lopez gets on stage and says all kinds of things about Johnny Depp, how nice he is when she had never met him because I saw them meet backstage for the first time. and basically I had to walk on stage. My only job, my one job was to hand him this award. So I get this gown lent to me. No one tells me that this sculpture that I have to hand him is like 100 pounds and I had to carry it up these stairs. So basically I tripped and fell on my face in front of Johnny Depp.
Ooh.
And that was my one. It was like, you had one job.
Yeah, one job.
And you screwed it up. And I'm tripping all over
the
stage.
Did you break his award?
I didn't break the award because I broke my face. I was like, I'm going to fall, but I'm going to hold the statue up and it will not fall and it will not break.
Did he look at you with disdain?
No, he was cool. Okay. You could tell he was like he kind of went backstage before he went on stage. And you could tell he was just an introvert. Like, he was just kind of kept to himself. Yeah.
Completely. We, I was talking about the Golden God Awards I was telling you about. He came and played guitar with Marilyn Manson. On a couple teams. And super, like, almost nerdy, weird.
That's what he was like.
Guy.
Yep.
You know, who's like scared to say anything, you know?
Which is why when I talk about how I was a bad actress, that's why when I interview a lot of actors who are like that, because some of them have personality and they can talk and they can whatever, but a lot of them, they need a role, they need a character, they need somebody else's words, and then they come alive,
right?
And they otherwise they can't express themselves, and they'll say to me like, I could never do what you do, because they don't want to show themselves.
It's really
interesting. But that's why I feel like I'm more comfortable being myself. So when you ask me to say somebody else's words, or it just seems so
awkward.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is John.
I'm so awkward.
So Murder on the Orient Express.
I've told you a whole lot about it.
Orient Express is a train, and someone gets murdered on it. It's kind of an all-star cast.
It's an all-star cast.
Plays some weird, probably French or German or Ukrainian guy or something.
And it's Daisy Ridley, who you'll know from the Star Wars franchise. She kind of popped off that. You know who she is, right?
Yeah.
She's in the latest. Yeah.
She's is it Ren?
Yeah. No. Kylo Ren is the guy. She's
whatever. Her
I'm
name
drawing
is.
A blank on her name.
She's the girl. All right, so she's in that. Okay, so
she's in that.
You know, I don't know much about the movie, but Johnny Depp's in it, so
yeah,
I might go check it out.
I mean, they've been promoting this movie for a good 6 months. You know, they've already started. You know, they invited like a bunch of press to go like take the train like 6 months ago.
Okay,
they really. You know, I think because of the size of the cast and that, it opens November 10th. I don't know if it'll have Chris, like the kind of Christmas, I don't know, carry over.
What does that tell you when you say it opens on November 10th? What does that mean as far as the
movie's
projections?
Well, you know, it's really funny because it seems random, but in Hollywood, it's so planned out when movies come out. Mm. I interviewed Melissa McCarthy on the set of a movie 2 years ago, and the movie doesn't come out for a year. And I'm like, why does your movie not come out for a year? And she's like, because we looked at the slate of movies coming out. They don't want to compete against certain movies. Yeah. Things will even get pushed a year. Sometimes it's reshoots for a lot of different reasons. But, you know, I think November, opening in November and opening on a weekend, you're not going to be up against something really like big, because the Christmas thing is a tough, it's a tough thing.
Yeah.
You know, people really, and I think it could carry over. It really could carry over because of the size of the cast. It'll really depend on the reviews, when the reviews come out and all that. But, you know, it's a tough gig. Like, Star Wars is coming out December 15th.
That's just going to crush everybody.
Yeah. Like, how do you compete with that? So I think it's smart. I think that they're doing a little bit early.
Preparing.
And you want what, you know, we call the movie to have legs. So if it's good enough, it'll continue over through the holiday season. It'll be like one of those, because I don't know if you find this, like the holidays is the time that you, and this happened last Christmas, I felt like there wasn't a lot for like general audiences to go see. It was either really depressing. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot of like stuff you can go see with your friends, your family, whatever. There just wasn't a lot out there. So this could be one of those.
And like you said, to come out earlier, you'll make the majority of the revenue before Star Wars comes out, and anything you make
exactly.
After. Exactly. Right? All right, let's move on to Daddy's Home 2. This is Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg, whose dads come home for the holidays.
Sound familiar?
You should hook up the Daddy's Home guys with the Bad Moms.
I know. Daddy's Home, Bad Moms 3. Yeah. A crossover film.
Yeah, it's like the Marvel Universe crossing over. So the dads come home, and it's Mel Gibson and John Lithgow, who we were talking about.
Yeah, so Mel Gibson plays Mark Wahlberg's dad. Can you even imagine? I know. Because I think they've shown in the trailer, like, the first scene, because Mark Wahlberg's character in this movie. Did you see the first Daddy's Home?
It was good.
I loved that movie. Really I thought the two of them together were so perfect.
The best part is when Will, does he drive the motorcycle up to the house and falls through up the stairs? And like, was it the car? What did he do?
Do you know what's so funny is you're like typical guys. Guys can remember scenes, quotes. Can you quote just about every movie you've ever seen? Well, guys have ones. A very amazing ability to quote film.
Right.
And I don't remember that scene.
Well, he got on the motorcycle and he lost control and he's like, whoa, and like drove to the house and came out of the thing. And it was like, whoa, wee, something like that.
That was really good.
Whoa, wee. So Mel Gibson plays his dad and John Lithgow plays Will Ferrell's dad.
Yeah.
And, you know, the because John Cena was in the first one playing someone's dad too.
Was he?
Yeah.
See, I don't remember that either. I don't remember a whole lot about that movie other than that. I really liked it. It was good. Now, so this one, it's kind of like the parents, like apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Mm-hmm. John Lithgow is like totally nerdy, plays Will Ferrell's dad. And that's what I loved. I think that's what I loved about the first one is they totally played to type.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it's okay to not change it up.
Like, yeah.
That's the same role Ferrell's played in every movie.
Don't fix it if it's not broken. And I mean, I haven't seen it, but I've heard, I know people who've seen it and said it's freaking hilarious.
That's like, a big Christmas movie too. Like, Will Ferrell's still big box office.
Oh yeah, although last movie didn't do that.
Casino or something?
With the Amy Poehler at the house.
Here's the thing. I barely even heard of that movie. It must have not been good from the moment they cut it, because you never heard anything about it. It's like they just threw it out just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
But I remember I saw like one billboard for it in the theater, and that never saw a commercial.
And here's what sometimes I find funny is I interviewed him and Amy Poehler together for that movie. And I didn't know what to expect with Will Ferrell. I didn't know if it was going to be one of those comedians
that's not funny or
that's not very, because I had actually heard a story about him. He was amazing. He was amazing. Like, I kind of like came in with these, you know, when I interview a comedian, what I try to do is set them up for the joke. So I'll come up with something that can make them look funny or make them run with it want to run with it. Right. But if they don't want to run with it, I'm going to look like an idiot. But anyway, he ran with everything that I gave him, and he was so like went above and beyond. That it's just like when that happens, it makes me want to see his movies and make me like him more.
But that's what press is supposed to be. It's supposed to ingratiate the person to the people watching, whether you like the movie or not.
Right.
You're pulling for it, like you said.
Yeah.
You want it to be good, and you'll support the person because they made you entertained, laugh, et cetera.
Yeah. Right. So anyway, the buzz on this film is really good.
Well, I mean, that's a no-brainer.
That's a no-brainer.
And I always like Mel Gibson, too. I'm glad he's not in trouble anymore. Great director.
He's a great director. I'll say that.
And
I won't say anything else. I'll say he's a great director.
Justice League, starring Gal Gadot. Okay, I don't like this name, by the way. Gal Gadot.
Gadot.
Gadot. I don't
like
it.
You have to pronounce the T.
I don't like that name.
Why?
I don't know. It's Gal. Come on, man. Is it short for something?
I think it's Gal, though. I don't know.
She's
got
a lot of gall to walk around with that
walk
name.
Around that name. Okay, so this is a whole thing. So were you you don't like superhero movies? Were you a Wonder Woman fan?
Well, here's the thing. When I was a kid, I liked comics. I was a DC guy.
Yeah.
But the movies, Marvel ones are better than the DC movies. The DC
lately
ones
they
aren't,
have been.
Yeah.
Lately so, they've been doing better.
I wasn't a Wonder Woman fan, per se.
Okay.
I'm all for Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
I appreciate the invisible plane, which in the comics you could still always see the plane. They still drew the plane.
Right.
It was like a see-through plane.
Right.
They should have just drawn her sitting in the middle of the air if it's an invisible plane.
Yeah.
That's the way I always looked at it.
Yeah. There was a lot of people – actually, a lot of people took issue with that whole thing.
Really?
Yeah. Not people alone? That were fans of like the comic and that, they really took issue with the invisible plane.
You could see the plane. So the Gal Gadot –
yeah.
Ben Affleck is Batman.
Yes.
Jason Momoa, Aquaman.
Yeah, you're seeing him for the first time as Aquaman.
Right. Ezra Miller as The Flash.
Yeah. So here's the thing about this. So first of all, I'm just going to sound like such a chick right now.
Please.
But Wonder Woman blew my mind because...
Everyone said that.
Because, number one, it was one of those movies like I told you about. Like I went into it knowing... nothing.
Right, you weren't...
I wasn't expecting anything. I had no idea. I actually didn't expect it to be that good. And there was something about it that I just went, and I'm just preaching to the choir here, but there's something about it that when I saw it, I went, oh my gosh, I so relate to this person.
To Wonder Woman.
Because I don't relate to a lot of the female, and this goes back to when I was an actress. I had dark hair at the time, and I would get sent in for what I called the kick-ass roles. Like the Angelina Jolie, you have dark hair and blue eyes, you can go in and kick ass. And I'm like, that's not my personality at all. Like, send me the party girl roles. Not that I'm that type, but I can do the fun thing more than I can pull off. Like, I can kick your ass. And I didn't necessarily, although I admire Mila Jovovich and, you know, all these women that have done those types of roles and been fierce, I didn't relate like I related to this Wonder Woman because... she was like how she was sort of naive when she was going through London why do you guys fight each other? Like there was just because she was like able to be like show her curves and her softness and her naivety and her humor and her quirkiness. Like it gave me chills. The whole thing gave me chills. And
I got great reviews all across the board.
And it did. And the director. So here's the thing. You first saw Gal Gadot. Sorry to say her name. In Batman versus Superman. That was when she was first introduced to, you know.
That was the cameo she made.
That was the cameo when people were like, oh, she stole the movie and can't wait to see Wonder Woman. But I really thought that what Patty Jenkins did with Wonder Woman, you didn't even see her in that light in Batman versus Superman. So what I was scared with Justice League, her coming back, directed by a man, are we going to see her in a different light than you saw her in Wonder Woman? And from what I've heard... she again rocks this movie.
But I think at this point she would know how to play that character. Like maybe in the first one she didn't really know what she wanted to do with it.
But she crushed that one. It was just a different version of her. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It was just a different version. And I just wanted, tonally, I was hoping it would be the same. And I agree with you, but if you're putting her in a different circumstance, like around all the other superheroes, like is it going to be too much of her being this fierce kick-ass and not having all that humor and all that stuff that you love about the movie? But she, I mean, basically this is, you know, DC fans.
They're forming their own Avengers with the Super Friends.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this one they really need. There's a lot riding on this one because Suicide Squad wasn't critically acclaimed, even though it made a ton of.
I like that.
I liked it too.
Margot Robbie.
But it was one of those didn't
do good. Bad reviews.
It did well. I mean, when you look at the box office, it was still one of the top 10 of last year, but it didn't do as well as expected. It could have done well over $1 billion, and I think it did just like a little under.
It got critically panned.
But it got critically, and then Batman versus Superman was the same thing. So DC really needs this to be good and do well. And I know a couple of people have seen it already, and they said better than they expected. So... I think, and they said, you know, DC fans are going to be excited because if you like seeing all your superheroes lined up together, it's going to be one of those chill-inducing.
When I was a kid, Aquaman was my favorite superhero.
Oh, really?
Because I liked his orange shirt. I liked to swim, so he was the swimming guy. But apparently, that's not cool to like Aquaman. Like superhero comic people, like if you like Aquaman, he's like he's the worst superhero.
And until this movie comes out, because it's played by Jason Momoa.
Yes, and the thing is, okay, why is Aquaman the worst superhero? Well, because what's he do? He guides the sea creatures. Okay, great. So let's say you're out in the ocean and your boat sinks. Who are you going to want with you? Aquaman. Because he can call a whale to come pick you up and take you back to New York. Batman can't do that.
I get it. I dressed up as Green Lantern for Comic-Con a couple of years ago. Like, that's not exactly a popular choice.
Yeah, it's more of an obscure one too, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll keep an eye out for that. Yeah. I'm excited to have Aquaman.
Talk is Jericho.
Let's go forward to the Disaster Artist.
Yeah. Is,
Franco Brothers and Seth Rogen playing Tommy. Worst movie of all time.
The Room.
Is The Room.
So for people who don't know The Room, yeah, there's this guy, Tommy Wiseau, who came to Hollywood, I don't even know how many years ago, and wanted to like get into the movie business and meets this guy, and it's played by Dave Franco. Meets this guy. It's a true life story.
Dave Franco is Wiseau?
Tommy is James Franco. James Franco plays Tommy Wiseau.
Okay, gotcha.
And Dave Franco, his brother, plays the friend that he meets.
Gotcha.
And he wants to become an actor. And Tommy has this money and is like, let's make a movie, and becomes a director. And this is a real life story. He made The Room. And you've seen The Room, right?
Yes. It's like a modern day version of Plan 9. To outer space, the worst movie ever
it's
made.
Known to be, but because of that, it has a cult following.
Yes,
like this crazy
just like
cult following.
Right.
And
I saw a billboard for that movie in LA for about 10 years for The Room.
Did you really?
Yeah, it was down, I can't remember exactly where it was, but he bought a billboard because I didn't know it was the worst movie. I just always heard about The Room. I thought it was an independent film.
Yeah.
And then starting out bad is, and you watch it, it's awful.
It's absolutely awful. Like, and there's so many iconic lines from that movie, but because they're so bad and acted so poorly, and Tommy's the reason, like, he's absolutely awful. But he said, like, his goal was to make an Academy Award winning movie, which ironically, there's Academy Award buzz about the Disaster Artist.
No way.
So he could end up going to the Academy Awards in a roundabout way, because you know the buzz is that maybe James Franco's going to get nominated because he's so good in this movie. And he would, of course, bring Tommy with him if he was nominated.
No, but here's the question I have for you, though. Does Tommy know how bad the movie is?
Well, okay. So here's the thing. So Dave and James Franco and Seth Rogen were all fans of The Room. And they decided we're going to make a movie about the making of The Room. And I saw the film at South by Southwest, which is a film festival that happens in Austin in the spring, and they screened it, and Tommy made a surprise appearance and came up on stage, and he to this day still thinks his movie's a masterpiece. Like, I don't really, I think he's sort of been asked, and James has been asked, like, does he get that his movie's bad?
And
he's like, does he understand that it's bad? And it's like, yeah, he doesn't like it when we say the movie was bad, and that's why we made the movie. He really still thinks his movie was great, although maybe he gets it.
There's a great documentary called The Best Worst Movie Ever, and it's about this movie called Troll 2 that was made in the early 80s. And it was made in Salt Lake City, American cast, Italian director. It's rotten. It's very bad. The documentary is amazing, but the movie's terrible. But it shows a scene where now it's become this cult classic, Troll 2, and they were watching it at a theater, and everyone's laughing, and the Italian director's sitting in the back. He's like, you don't understand the movie. Apparently he's a French guy now. But he was really mad that people were burying his movie and was still standing to the end of time that this is a great movie and you just don't get it. You guys are stupid.
I think that's Tommy Wiseau. Right. I think he has that mentality. But like, okay, so this comes out on December 1st. Yes. And it's not going to be one of those. You're not going to see a lot of advertising about it. It's a small budget movie. It was an independent movie. But I encourage people to see The Disaster Artist. If you haven't seen The Room, see The Disaster Artist first.
Yes.
And then watch The Room.
One second.
Because it's going to make you like see it in a totally different way.
And you asked me before, like, I'm trying to figure out what your movie style is. These are my type of movies. Like, I'm not – like, big budget movies, it's very rare that I really dig it because that's the formulaic. And that's fine. I get it. It's no problem. These type of movies to me are the ones that really stick.
Me too. That and that movie, I will tell you, go and see it in the theater.
Check it out.
Really great, yeah. And the performances are awesome. Seth Rogen. I mean, the three of those guys together. Great
chemistry.
Such good chemistry, and they have fun making movies, and you can tell. You know what I mean? Like you can really tell.
What's that movie that came out a couple years ago where like it was the end of the world and they ended up fighting? I think called The End. Maybe,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
You could tell. Like that reminded me of a modern day Cannonball Run. Where they're all just stoned and f***ed up and they're all just out of it and just
they're playing,
laughing.
There's like cameos by actors playing themselves.
Playing themselves. And yeah. You can tell they're barely making it through the movie because they're just having too much fun. I like that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want to do that with your friends?
No, you can, and you feel it and you can tell.
And that
it's
comes
like,
across on the screen.
Seth Rogen was one of my favorite people to interview. And every time, it's so funny because I interviewed them for this movie and they were convinced that I had never seen The Room. Oh. So they were making fun of me the whole time. And every time I tried to ask them a question, and every time I interview Seth Rogen, he calls it a disaster now. Because the first time I interviewed him was at Comic-Con, uh-huh. And it was for Fandango. It was one of my first interviews for Fandango. And they made us play skee-ball together. Uh-huh. But like, so the whole thing about when you're going to play a game or play a sport with a celebrity on camera, and it was a 20 or 30 minute like live interview that was going up on Facebook, they have to be competitive. Otherwise, what's the point? Right. So my first question to Seth Rogen was, are you competitive? And he goes, not at all.
Like, wah, wah, wah.
Pretty sure he was stoned.
Of course he was.
And it was just like, so we were just like, after the first, and I'm not really competitive. I could have cared less. I really just wanted to talk to him. So after we both threw the ball twice, we both kept just throwing the ball. And it was just like, and so when I saw him on the carpet for the disaster artist, I'm like, do you remember we played skee ball? He goes, that was a disaster. But it was the only interview from all of Comic-Con he put on his Facebook.
So it
went viral. And then, of course, I got like people saying, I hate her. I love her. It was like, you know, across the board. It's like she's struggling so hard trying to interview him. He's so stoned.
It's two Canadians. They're too polite to actually win.
I forgot he was Canadian. Yeah. But anyway, so when I saw him for this, he's just like, oh my gosh, every time you interview me, it's a disaster.
Disaster piece.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one for sure I'm going to go see.
Yeah. That one I highly recommend.
We'll move past a couple of these ones, but obviously the big one is Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Yes.
And by the way, Nikki did a great job of giving us some notes for every movie, and this one just says needs no explanation.
I wrote a whole little synopsis.
Yeah, and that's the truth, though, because this one, so I loved Rogue One. Yes, I did. I loved it, but it's not where we're at as far as the story.
Well, this is Force Awakens
was 7, this is 8, Last Jedi.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited because now we get to see Luke Skywalker.
So finally. Yes. Are you a Star Wars fan? Like, are you?
Huge Star Wars fan.
You are.
Yeah, like fanatic.
So you like Rogue One better than The Force Awakens?
I won't say that because I love Han Solo, and I needed to see him die. Because
did you?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah, I did.
Why?
Because it's such a well-written character, and in the pantheon of these movies, everybody lives and everybody dies. And he's been a rogue his whole career, and that's kind of the whole irony of being murdered by his own son and all those other things. I know that Harrison Ford wanted to die in Return of the Jedi in 1983.
Yeah. He's been waiting for a long time.
And I think that's the reason why he was so good in that movie, is because he knew this is the last time I'm ever playing this character. Mm-hmm. They can't bring me back because I'm dead. So I thought he really gave it a little bit extra and made, and plus it was heartbreaking when he dies.
You surprised or did you know it was coming?
I did my absolute best to have no spoilers, but right before I went, I saw a tweet or something just out of the corner of my eye that said like dead. I'm like, fuck. So I knew it, even though I didn't know anything about the circumstances. So
yeah.
I kind of heard that it was going to happen anyways, and I kind of felt that it was going to happen. And I thought, like I said, to me, it was not necessary, but something that I thought was the right way to go.
And how do you feel about – I'm curious. I always end up with Star Wars fans because I'm not the hugest Star Wars fan. I mean, obviously, I know a lot about it, but I'm not like – it actually terrified me as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
It was like one of the first movies I ever went to see in the theater. And I won't say which one because I'll date myself. But it wasn't the first one. But anyway, it was one of those things I stayed away from for years because it scared me so much as a kid. So I always like when I meet a Star Wars fan, I'm just more curious asking questions. But do you like Adam Driver in that role? Like, do you? Because I loved him in Girls. I don't know if you ever saw him in Girls. More of a chick thing. But he's a really good actor.
What I didn't like about it was that he took the mask off. I didn't see the point. you know, if you have this really cool mask, it's Kylo Ren. He's like, just, you know, renegade or whatever. And it just like, he almost took his mask off to show like, hey, here's my face. But yeah, I want to see more. I'm not convinced yet. Like, he got the ultimate trump card to be a great heel, as we would say in wrestling, because he killed Han Solo.
Right.
So if you kill Han Solo,
let's see what you got.
That's a pretty big push to be an all-time great villain. But let's see where you go with it. So
yeah.
I don't know yet, but I want to see.
I think
that's
the issue that I had. Mm. And not being a Star Wars fans that are listening can jump all over me. But I think if you're going to bring back Harrison Ford after how many years and have him play this character, I think maybe I would have liked to see him pass in this film coming up rather than the last one. Just let it flesh out a little bit more in that relationship. It just felt like, okay, he wants to die in this movie, so here it comes.
And I think that's exactly what it is, Nikki. I don't think there's any debate. I think it was like, I'll do one movie. That's
right.
It. I'm done.
Right.
And you're going to pay me $25 million.
Right.
That's the way it is. So, okay, we got him for one movie. Let's do the best we can with that.
Yeah.
And have you ever had Harrison on?
I just interviewed him, actually.
I heard he's a nightmare.
Okay.
And I think he does it on purpose.
Listen, there was, I don't know if you saw the viral interview that he did with this journalist from Britain that he, and it just went like up to like 5 million views or something. And this journalist who you see the same journalist on junkets
all the
time. And I got chatting with her during this junket that we did for 50 Shades. And I just thought, she is the coolest chick. And then I just randomly come across this interview where he is killing himself laughing. And I was that person that went, I wanted to crack him and I didn't crack him. And then she got him. Because what happened was it was for Blade Runner. Everybody went into it going, I saw the original, about the original. And she sat down with Ryan and Ryan Gosling and Harrison. And Ryan, she's like, oh, look at these glasses sitting on the table. They're from the original. And Ryan goes, are you a fan? She goes, never seen it. And Harrison looks at her like, did she just admit that? And she's this big black woman and she just has this crazy, amazing laugh. And she's like, never seen it. He's like, well, I appreciate your honesty. And just, she was so honest
because
everybody's trying to kiss his ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's tough. I mean, I knew that going into it. I think I watched every interview he's ever done on YouTube to sort of know what to say, what not to say. He's a tough nut.
He just doesn't, I don't think he wants to do press. I think that's how he gets off, is just by being a bad interview.
And yeah, well, here's what I will say. I don't know if you saw Blade Runner or not, if you're a fan of Blade Runner.
I haven't seen it.
What I didn't see in Star Wars, which I saw in Blade Runner, was Harrison Ford acting. Really investing in the acting.
Oh, I see.
Again, I'm obviously, I have great respect for his work. He's an icon. He's done, you know, three of the biggest iconic roles in cinematic history. But he's not my thing. Like, Star Wars really wasn't my thing. Blade Runner really wasn't my thing. I love them, but they're not.
I got you.
Not my passion. But when I saw him act in Blade Runner, I'm like, that's why Harrison Ford was a star back then. Mm-hmm. You went, oh my God. He had one line in this movie that I get goosebumps thinking about it. I'm like, that is a movie star that can just deliver it in a way that nobody else can and has that presence.
But see, that's Harrison Ford too. Like you mentioned, obviously huge for Star Wars and Indiana Jones and Blade Runner.
Yeah.
But you know, you see him like in Witness, for example, or even like The Fugitive, some deep acting. And that's, I think he made his most money on popcorn films. He knows exactly how to play them. It's probably very easy. It's coasting.
But
when he has to get dirty, he can do it.
But here's what he does is, you know, those actors like a Sean Penn, or, you know, they're acting and you almost see the acting. Like you're like, whoa, they're acting, but they're amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Harrison Ford, he doesn't look like he's acting.
Mm-hmm.
There's an effortlessness about him. Like Robert Redford had that quality, I felt
Like
there's certain people that have that where they can just exist on camera and they're not doing too much, but it's all there. Mm-hmm. And it's just so simple. There's like a simplicity to it that I just went, oh my gosh.
You know what else I don't like name-wise? Ryan Gosling. I don't like that name, Gosling.
You want to say Gosling, don't you?
Yeah, it sounds like Goose Gossage.
Gauze, like a bandage?
Like a bandage. There's a picture from the 70s called Goose Gossage. Like Ryan Gossage.
What name do you like?
Nikki Novak's a cool name. That sounds like a comic book name.
Like, I could be a superhero.
Yeah, you could be. Nikki Novak. So Star Wars, I mean, like I said, we could debate this all day long, but I'm super excited about it.
Yeah,
I'm really happy to see Mark Hamill. And then I'm also curious
so
to see what happens with Carrie Fisher. I think she probably filmed all her parts.
She did. She filmed all her parts. Okay. They've also said that this will be the last one she'll appear in. They're not going to CGI her. They're not going to do that in the next one. Okay. This is going to be the last time you're going to see her. Yeah. I mean, you know, the whole thing is like, how do you deal with it? Like, it was so unexpected. Yeah. It was so untimely. Like, how do they address it? And they've said, we're not going to.
They got what they needed and they don't have to.
Yeah. I mean, I think story-wise, they would have liked her story to continue in the next one. Mm-hmm. So that's where they had your like, rethink everything and rework everything. But I'm personally Luke Skywalker, all the characters. That was like, a lot of people are Han Solo fans, mm-hmm. but I'm the Luke person.
Luke was always really whiny in the early ones. Now he's a badass Jedi. That's why I'm excited. Like, I want to see him just kick ass.
Well, because the thing about The Force Awakens, to me, the last 5-10 seconds was everything.
Amazing.
Everything.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. What a great ending.
What a presence he had. Yeah. And just that nostalgia. Like, you don't even have to be everything. A fan. It's
like,
he's
like, once again, like I mentioned with Harrison Ford, Han Solo dying. Like, you know, I saw Star Wars in the theater when I was 6. So Luke Skywalker's been, you know, part of my life since I was 6. So now that he's an old guy, I like that. Like, you know, I've seen the evolution of this character that's, you know, a real person. And now he's old with a beard and he's like the wise old Jedi. And it's like, I'm really excited to see how he plays.
Don't you think, too, there's something to the fact that he didn't have a huge career after that. Like, that was what he was known for.
Right?
And you feel like, at least from what I've seen, he really appreciates this.
I think now probably more than ever.
Yeah.
You know, like here he is, whatever he is, 60 years old or something, even more probably. And he's got this chance to once again be the hottest guy in Hollywood.
And he's loving it.
Yeah.
And he's milking it and he's loving it. And he appreciates it. And he's not like, oh, you guys didn't love me for my other. Like, he's not jaded at all about playing this role.
I told Slash that before the Guns N' Roses arena. I said, eventually you guys are going to get back together just as buds. I said, because you guys created something that hardly anybody did. And you'll appreciate it more because you knew you got it so fast. Then it goes away. And he said they're having the best time ever. They're having, like, they said, it's the best tour. We're doing this forever. So, I mean, because you appreciate, you know how fleeting it can be.
Yeah.
So I think you're right about Mark Hamill doing that.
Yeah.
So let's move on to Jumanji. Welcome to the jungle. What a great segue.
that was the best segue in the history.
Didn't even know.
Oh, my gosh.
So Jumanji was a movie that Robin Williams, we talked about Robin Williams earlier, which was kind of a game, like a puzzle or something that unlocked like real life animals, like zoo animals or something like that.
Yeah, so this one's gonna be really fun. So it's
I mean, look at the lineup. The Rock, Kevin Hart, and Jack Black.
And so,
all three of them are funny.
And okay, this opens December 20th. If you can say Christmas box office, just put it next to this movie, because that's gonna be the one that's gonna crush. So basically what happens is they're teenagers that are playing a video game and they have these avatars and then they get caught in the video game. So I think Jack Black's character is like one of these like Instagram girls, like these hot little Instagram girls.
Oh.
And he ends up, she's playing like Jack Black, this like her avatar. And she, in the trailer, the first thing she sees of herself is she looks in the reflection in a pond and she sees Jack Black and she goes, oh my God, I'm hideous. Which I don't think Jack's hideous. I actually think he's really cute.
He's hilarious too.
What can you say?
Well, here's what you can say. They're so confident it's going to be huge. They're going on a week after Star Wars. They're like, we'll take on Star Wars.
Yeah. Well, because that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's a totally different genre. So what they're counting on is people will either have already seen Star Wars or will see both.
Or want something different and aren't into Star Wars at all. And this is what you're going to see instead.
Yeah.
And
so
the Rock needs a good one after Baywatch.
I think. That was just weird to me. Like, that was such an anomaly because you had such a good cast. And the Rock, I think the mistake they made with that was making it R-rated.
Right.
Because what they did was they were like, you know what? All these R-rated comedies are doing so well. Let's make it R-rated. But I don't think they went far enough with the R-rated. Like, if you're going to go R-rated. Really make it R-rated.
Hangover.
Yeah. But when you have the Rock and Zac Efron, make it so everybody can see it, because that's who likes to see them, is everybody, generation,
I agree. But I mean, that's once again, I mean, The Rock, he's very smart at the things that he picks.
Yeah.
And look at that cast. I mean, that's a no-brainer.
And look what I wrote down. Will be big holiday comedy film regardless of how good it is.
And you're right. And we've seen The Rock and Kevin Hart in good personalities. They did that movie together, Community Property.
Oh, was that what the name was?
Colossal Damage.
Was it? I don't see. As you can tell from this podcast, I'm the worst with names. I just need you to say everybody's name for me. I can't pull names. Collect up.
Collateral damage. Is that what it's called?
Was
collective
it?
Soul. Please tweet us at Talk Is Jericho and tell us what the name of the movie was that The Rock and Kevin Hart were. We could Google it, but we're not going to.
Both and two of the nicest guys.
Yeah. Yeah, and professionals too. Yeah, The Rock's another guy that looks you in the eye.
Yeah,
and,
really fun.
So yeah, we're gonna. I would say Jumanji is gonna be a good one.
Yeah, it's gonna be a big one.
We're gonna just do a couple more here as we wind down. I want to talk about downsizing.
You do? I should know by now that you were gonna pick that one because I'm looking down at the list. I'm like, wow, you picked that one. Yeah,
not a picture first, a Pitch Perfect guy. So let's Pitch Perfect.
Yeah, I mean,
it is what it is. Go see that. Have fun. But who cares? Downsizing. What? They both have Kristen Wiig in them, though.
I know.
She's all over the place this winter.
Do you remember Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
Of course. So there's like three of those bad boys.
This is the 2017 version of it.
They shrink themselves in order to deal with overcrowding of planet. 2017, as Honey, I Shrunk the Kids can just mention.
So I will say, Matt Damon, who's done how many movies, and he's kind of our modern day, you know,
Harrison Ford combined with a little bit of Tom Hanks. He's kind of an everyman at this point.
I think Matt Damon is the everyman that can kind of do everything, right, though. Like, he can do Jason Bourne, and he can do
fat guy in some Suburbicon.
But downsizing, he has gone on the record and said, this is the best script I ever read.
Wow.
Yep. And that's
so they shrink down to get rid of overcrowding.
Yeah, they're able to genetically shrink people down in size, so they become like 5 inches high, and it's like it's people who have seen it, I say it's like one of the best movies of the year.
Are they gonna swim in a bowl of Cheerios like the guys? Did
the use them as little like life rafts. Yeah,
are they gonna attack by dust motes?
Like no clue. I haven't seen it. That's why I said let's just mention it. But
so it must be a comedy with Kristen Wiig's in it.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Not necessarily. There's comedic elements to it for sure.
Gotcha. I did a movie with Kristen Wiig once.
Did you really?
MacGruber.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
She's and how was
nice.
She?
Very friendly, very nice. Introduced me to her parents. Nice, Mr. and Mrs. Wiig. Shout out if you're listening.
Where are her parents from? Where is she from?
I think she's from like New York or something like this, maybe. Okay. But yeah, they were nice people. She was very nice. I noticed she had very thin hair. You're talking about being a hair person. Like, very thin. Like, she needed some, maybe just groups, just that's just her style of
people
hair.
People have told me I look like Kristen Wiig.
I don't think so.
I have more hair extensions.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't want to be mean, but like, you'd be a much prettier version of Kristen Wiig, and that's not like that's just like she's kind of like a plain Jane, isn't she? Right?
You know what I just realized too, and I completely forgot this. They were in The Martian together.
They were. That was a good movie.
Yeah.
The Martian. I like that. What was Kristen Wiig in that?
She was one of the – she was in – I don't think they had any scenes together.
Yeah, she was one of the people on Earth trying to help
which to
the
me
Martian.
That was the weirdest casting. Like of the whole family. I was Kristen Wiig doing
you
there?
You see that sometimes though. Like what did I just see Danny McBride in? Oh, the new Aliens movie. Aliens Covenant. Danny McBride's like one of the soldiers.
But,
like,
and this
what?
Is the thing. She was good in it, but it was just like, wow, that's an interesting choice because you were used to seeing her in these comedies. And
well, maybe she wanted to branch out, and they said, we'll give you this little
chance.
And
I think that's the thing about downsizing. I think it's kind of a mix of comedy, drama. I think it's kind of both. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think I would like to see it. I think I'm a Matt Damon fan, like I said. He doesn't make a lot of stinkers. He doesn't. But speaking as someone who never makes stinkers and being another great segue, The Post, listen to this lineup. Spielberg, Hanks, Streep. Can someone say Oscar?
That's what I wrote in. Can someone say Oscar? And then I wrote LOL.
I mean, absolutely. Here's the question I have to ask. You know, you said it's totally under wraps this moment. You don't really know what it's about, or do you?
Well,
know what it's
you
about?
Do. It's a true story. And it's kind of like a spotlight. Do you remember how Spotlight like uncovered like what was going on in the church and the whole thing?
Yeah.
This sort of uncovers, I guess it was the Washington Post that posted this thing called the Pentagon Papers. It was about the Vietnam War. So it's a historical drama, but this movie is so under wraps. There's no trailer. You know nothing about it other than everybody's going to go see it. It opens on, I think, the 22nd. Yeah, the 22nd.
But here's the thing when you have this, right? So you have like the three, like how many Oscars between those three are great movies?
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, as you know, chemistry is everything. Is it too many, like, cooks in
too
the
many
pot?
Too many like master chefs in
right,
the kitchen
yeah you know what I mean like
no.
You gotta have a grease cook in there somewhere
no
you think it's gonna be brilliant you know because I always like they wouldn't do it if it wasn't going to be good with that lineup, right?
That's what I think. But it happens. You're absolutely right. It does happen.
Dumb and Dumber 2.
I love that you just picked that one.
I'll tell you the reason why. They waited 20 years to make the sequel. And I'm like, why would you do it unless it was going to be great? And it was awful. So how does that happen? Zoolander 2. They waited so long to make a piece of crap. I don't understand.
I think that's what people said about the Ghostbusters one too.
Oh.
But that you had this lightning and you had these amazing, you had Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy. Yeah.
And Kate McKinnon.
And how does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
And Paul Feig, who did Bridesmaids, the director who did Bridesmaids, knows comedy. Like right. He also did Spy with Melissa McCarthy. So he's worked with all these people
and with
before.
Kristen Wiig. Yeah, yeah.
And how does that happen? But it just look at, like, I always look at, you know, baseball players go up to bat. How many times do they hit a ball out of 10?
That's true. Once in a while.
It just...
You gotta
so
stinker.
So you think Steven Spielberg might be a strikeout in this one?
Not with Hanks and Meryl Streep. I feel Meryl Streep would, like, not accept it. Like, maybe Hanks and Spielberg might be fooled into it, but Streep's too smart for that shit.
I think that should be the tagline of this whole podcast. She's too smart for that shit.
That would be the hashtag that we'll go with. So let's finish up with the one I want to ask you about, which we're talking about, the Phantom Thread.
Do you want to talk about that one? You don't want to talk about The Greatest Showman?
Well, let's talk about that too. But I just want to briefly say Daniel Day-Lewis says this is his last film.
Yes. Okay, so I don't know when this is airing, but basically the trailer just dropped for this movie today, a couple hours ago.
Okay.
And it's Paul Thomas Anderson who...
Boogie Nights?
Yeah, and There Will Be Blood. He did that with Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, okay. Daniel Day-Lewis was not in Boogie Nights, in case anybody's
checking. Daniel Day-Lewis was not in Boogie Nights, that we know of. Yeah. Never know. He goes so far into character. He was actually Mark Wahlberg. You thought it was Mark Wahlberg.
He was in the orgy in scene number 3.
He's just that good.
Yeah.
So he has said that this is his last movie, and the trailer dropped today. And the only thing that we knew about this movie, that it was about a fashion designer. People didn't know if it was a fictitious one or a real-life fashion designer. Mm-hmm. Paul Thomas Anderson is known for... very stylistic, beautiful visual movies.
Right. Absolutely.
And Daniel Day-Lewis is known to be the best actor
of
our generation.
Actor, yeah.
I've heard so many stories about him over the years, just how far he goes into character, and just he's a method actor.
Mm-hmm.
How he'll live on set in the house, but it's not even a house. Right. It's like a set, but he'll live there because he just goes so far into it. And so he plays a fashion designer. And it was really hard to tell a storyline from the trailer, but it almost looked like he gets caught up in this love story. Like, he's very clinical, he's very methodical, and then he falls in love with this woman, and it throws his life into complete turmoil. So if it sounds like I can't really tell what the movie is about from the trailer, I can't really tell what the movie is about. Other than in the 2 minutes and whatever number of seconds of trailer, you're just watching Daniel Day-Lewis go, oh my gosh. But here's what he said. He said, because he goes so far into his characters, that one of the reasons he's retiring is because now he wants to be a fashion designer. He's been inspired to become a fashion designer.
That's awesome.
I'm like, I love you.
Did you ever see that Joaquin Phoenix movie where he wanted to be, he was a rapper?
And he got so far into character.
Yeah, like he actually wanted to become a rapper.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So that's interesting. So Daniel Day-Lewis, the ultimate method actor, now wants to be a fashion designer.
He's not going
to
be a fashion designer.
I bet you he'll do something else.
I mean, for sure. I mean, he's been a long time since he's done a film. Like,
You're right. There Will Be Blood.
And Paul Thomas Anderson, too, I think, hasn't done a movie in a little bit. Hmm. I think Daniel Day-Lewis longer. But, he hasn't done one in a while, and he says this is it. So you better go see it, because it's going to be the last
one.
Time.
The last Day-Lewis you got. The last one we got here, you brought it up, comes out on Christmas Day. The Greatest Showman, Hugh Jackman.
I know you don't sound excited about this one because you skipped over it, but I do want to talk about it.
Okay, well, since you brought it up, so now I'm excited. Hugh Jackman, Zac Efron.
Yep, Zendaya.
Who's Zendaya?
Zendaya is the Disney actress. She was in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh, okay. No
Did
last
you see
name?
That? It's just Zendaya. Mm. I can't wait to see people are going to write in and say, like...
I smell a rat with this Zendaya.
Who is this girl? Yeah, just look up her Instagram. Lady. She has like 45 million followers or something
that. She's one of those girls.
She's one of those.
Maybe she'll transform into Jack Black in this movie. I'm hideous.
Daniel Day-Lewis is Zendaya.
P.T. Barnum, the greatest promoter of all time, besides Vince McMahon.
Is that what you think?
Well, I think that's, kind of, that's what people kind of say.
So yeah, no, it's the circus. It's the story of the circus, but it's really the origins of show business.
Oh.
And there's a line in the movie in the trailer where drawing a blank on his name. Hugh Jackman's character says to Zac Efron's character, he says something about show business, and Zac Efron says, "What's that?" And he goes, "I just invented it." And this is going to be one of those feel-good movies of Christmas.
And why do you say that?
It's really the story, and I'm going to get like hate for saying this, but it's the story of like if you're different, that's okay. Mm. And like a lot of people have said, well, P.T. Barnum and the animal cruelty and the whole thing, and I'm just like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really the story of the bearded lady and the person who's odd and it all kind of coming together and the beginnings of the circus, the beginnings of show business. Yeah. And the cast, like they all sing in it. There's trapeze, like Zendaya, who you don't know, learned the trapeze. But the reason I'm excited about it, to me, there's no greater showman in Hollywood than Hugh Jackman.
Really? Oh, okay. He sings, he dances, yeah.
Yeah, he just... He's you know, we talk about like going to movies that you know you're going to feel good. To me, he's the feel good actor. Mm. You can't watch a Hugh Jackman movie and not love the guy.
You're right.
And such a nice dude. And just, I think this is going to be like his role. This is the role that he was born to play.
That's a great point because I'm thinking about like, I mean, I've seen him on Broadway, or I haven't seen him, but I know he does Broadway shows. Yeah. And he actually hosted Raw WWE one time. He's super friendly, nice guy, super into what he's doing. That's because that's a good choice to play P.T. Barnum, because he kind of has that, you know, vaudeville, can do a little bit of everything.
Completely. Vibe. And he sang in Les Mis. I mean, I thought he deserved the Academy Award for that performance. I thought he was amazing. Not
maybe Les this Rob. Maybe he'll get an Academy Award.
Yeah, I think the buzz on this one, it's more of a, I think initially people thought this was going to be the one that was going to sweep all the awards and win for Best Picture. And I think what people are saying about it now is it'll definitely get nominated, but it's one of those, like, everybody's going to go see it and like it. One of those universal, likable films that just everybody's like going to enjoy. Exactly.
So that's what an amazing Christmas movie preview. You guys can choose whichever one you want to see. Nikki, which one do you want to see the most out of these ones we've discussed?
Oh, my gosh. It's like choosing children. And I'm childless, so if that tells you anything.
None of them.
I don't want to see any of them. Oh, my gosh. Well, I've seen some of them. Some of them I'm not allowed to say that I've seen.
Okay.
But I'm going to say The Greatest Showman is the one. I really want to
see The Last Jedi, but the sleeper that I want to see is Disaster Artist with the Franco Brothers.
Yeah, Jedi's my close second.
Jedi's your second and Showman's your first?
Okay. Yeah.
Amazing. We did it.
We did
After
it.
After all this time of talking about
We've
it, we did
talking
it.
Talking about doing
this is the
for
greatest
a while.
Movie review of all time. Chris Helmsworth.
Hosted by Daniel Day-Lewis and Zendaya.
And now, Reflections with Raven.
A penny saved is a penny earned, and a person cremated is also a person earned.
For more Reflections with Raven, listen to The Raven Effect on the Jericho Network via the Podcast One app or subscribe at Apple Podcasts. All right, Raven's doing his stand-up on the Chris Jericho Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea. Remember, $150 holds your cabin at ChrisJerichoCruise.com. We're setting sail next October 27th, 2018. If you book a cabin by January 15th, only a couple months left for that, you'll get a picture of me with the list. And if you book one of the first 400 cabins, you could be part of a huge Q&A with me. And you'll be able to come hang on the ship with all these incredible guests. All the meet and greets are free. All the signings are free. Everything on the ship is free. And we just announced this week with the Sea of Honor tournament by Ring of Honor, the Young Bucks have been announced. The Young Bucks will be there. Two of the biggest stars in the history of Ring of Honor and two of the biggest stars in the world today will be there on the Sea of Honor tournament in the middle of the ocean. For the first time ever, matches are happening at sea in the middle of the ocean. Joining hosts Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler, plus these Hall of Famers, Mick Foley, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Rey Mysterio will be in the Hall of Fame. Killing the Town will be there. Keeping it 100 with Conan, Disco Inferno, and Shane Helms. Dave and Tim from Beyond the Darkness. Brad Williams will be there doing comedy. Ron Frunches, Jim Brewer, Busted Open Radio will be there. Fozzie's on the Rock and Rollville. Phil Campbell and the Bastard Sons. King, The Dives featuring Evan Stanley. the Dave Spivak project. That's Spee. We heard his music here before. Jim Brewer's also got a great rock and roll band, The Loud and Rowdy, will be here. The Darlings of Rock and Roll, the Cherry Bombs, will be here. Shoot the Thrill, the world's best female AC/DC cover band. Blizzard of Ozzy, the world's best Ozzy Osbourne cover band. And, of course, Ring of Honor, Sea of Honor tournament. Winner gets a world title shot for Ring of Honor, and the Young Bucks will be a part of that. Who else will be involved? More announcements to come as we get ready to rock this. ChrisJerichoCruise.com. Get your cabin now. Ever since the announcement of the Young Bucks, the cabins have been going through the roof. So don't wait. Some of the decks have already sold out. Do not get left behind. I know it's almost a year away, but still, that comes by quick. So thank you so much for checking out. Thank you for listening. Keep listening. And keep supporting our sponsors. DDPYoga.com. Go to DDPYoga.com/Jericho. Take advantage of the exclusive offer for you sexy beast. Talk is Jericho listeners. WWE 2K18 to see the whole game roster. Discover all the great special features added for this edition. Go to WWE.2K.com. WWE 2K18 is out now. Get yours today. And don't forget about TrueCar. You can save money, save time, and get the best new car available on the market and used cars as well. Thank you for listening. Keep listening for the 60-second AP News headlines coming up next. And coming up on Wednesday, he's here divulging the reason why he left the WWE, his first official interview since leaving the WWE this summer, Austin Aries, the greatest man who ever lived. No longer with WWE, and you're going to find out why right here on Talk is Jericho. He gives us the exclusive. He's hilarious. Austin Aries is telling his story right here on Wednesday. So we'll see you then. In the meantime, in the between time, stay hard, stay hungry. Peace, love, and hugs. And big yeah, boy.